Good evening, and welcome to a very special edition of Stray Casts, the glorified version of a bass fishing talk show. Tonight's host will be Matthew Robertson. At this time, we would like to thank Stray Cast title sponsors, Crestliner Boats, Carl's Bait and Tackle, Power Pole, and TH Marine. Stray Cast would also like to thank Tin Cup Whiskey, Abu Garcia, Berkeley, and promotional consideration to Alpha Angler, Half a Spot Official, Amphibia, KVD Line and Lure, Bite Me Tackle, and Bravarni. We please ask that whenever possible, you support the Stray Cast family of advertisers. And now, it is time for a very special Stray Cast. Enjoy.
The revolution is now. The new day of the proper Bassin Man has dawned. The spirits soar, and the forests
echo with laughter.
The rise of the proper Bassin Man is now. Ask yourself, are you proper Bassin?
Here you go.
Can you hear me, Pat?
Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Robertson. Yes, what the heck is going on here?
What do I do with my hands?
Hey, Matt.
Hi, bud.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Are we on?
We're live on the air. You're the host, man. So, like, I'm just along for the ride. So, feel free. Take liberties, sir.
Oh, so we're really on right now. You're not messing
with me. I'm not messing with you. I wish I was, but this is even better.
Like, are you for real?
I'm 100% serious that we are live right now. So don't say anything that you don't want to say.
Okay. Well, everybody, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Matt Robertson. And my co-host, Patrick the Star Renwick.
That's me. Yes. Thank you. Woo! Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Oh, where's our studio audience? We don't have a studio audience today?
Andy, come on, man. I thought you was going to be on point for me, bud.
I'm missing something.
That's the guy.
I see Andy's picture. Did you guys see Andy's picture? That was awesome. That was his Forest Wood Cup picture, by the way. That was pretty amazing.
Yes, very amazing.
Hey, Matt, tell us what you got cooked up tonight. You're the host of this deal. What do you got cooked up?
Well, we're going to have the winner of the Cherokee Bass Open Division on. He'll be on here shortly. And we also have another special guest. His name may start with a B and end with a lat.
Oh, okay.
Coming on later today. And we're going to discuss the opens and also discuss Wojo, proper Bassin Man. So we'll dive right into it, man.
There it is, dude. And first off, I want to say to you, Matt, dude, congratulations, bro. I mean, wow. You did it. You did it, Matt. I know it's been a bundle of emotions for you. All right.
Hey, yeah.
Andy, before we go, can you hear me, Andy?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we good on the effects or no?
No.
Okay. I'll keep going then. Hey, so Matt, like it's been a bundle of emotions for you.
Yeah.
You've had a roller coaster ride. I mean, things. I want to preface here, and you and I are friends. We talk on the phone just about every damn day, and just as with any friendship, when friends are involved in things, it gets emotional, man. Your win was very emotional for me as a friend of yours. As well as the entire Bass Galaxy, man. Like, you and your guest coming up, Brian Latimer, like,
You guys are just so, I've never seen two anglers as well received by the bass community as you guys. Carl Jacobson, I'll put in there as well.
Yeah.
Man, you guys, there's just something about it, Matt. And I want you to know how special of a win this really is because of the adversities that you conquered on the way there, man. Getting all your shit stolen, starting from scratch. I know the truck troubles you've been having that a lot of people don't know about. I know that you injure yourself weekly in your occupation, in your real occupation. Like, I'm like, what'd you do this? I singed all my eyebrows off. How'd you do that, Matt? Like, I skinned all my knuckles up. How'd you do that, Matt? Like, you know, like you're always in some sort of occupational hazard. There's always
All the hair off my arm that one time. That caught myself on fire.
That did happen. I get crazy phone calls from you, man. And what I'm trying to convey to the Bass Galaxy is, man, you've overcome a bunch of BS to win this event. And you had a conversation with me and a lot of people. I'm gonna give some people some insight here, and you can stop me anytime.
Yeah, go ahead.
But dude, you might come off as a little wild, and carefree, you know. But dude, you're a man of faith and a man of heart, and I've called you Faith Heart before. And you made a call. I mean, a lot of people here, you know, that, you know, you got a little bit of that Kenny Powers flavor to you, you know, you know, with your Wojo and everything else. But the deal is, man, Matt, dude, you're doing this. You're doing this, bud.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know, man. I kind of lost my place, I'll be honest, because I got caught up in the moment, man, because the fact of the matter is you actually won. You carried your faith, you carried your dreams, and you stuck through everything and you overcame it. And I don't know what else to say. How else to put it? I really don't.
Yeah, man, that's the best way to put it. It was I never did fish on faith very much before. You know, I was pretty hardcore. I knew everything. I'd say more of an arrogance to me. But the last two tournaments, man, I've let it all go and kind of let the universe take over my decision making. You know, I just roll with it. I don't know how else to explain it. I roll with the universe. I roll with my decisions. And dude, I'm telling you, I don't know if anybody knows what it's like to know you're making every right decision no matter what, you know, because that's what I feel like I've been doing.
Yeah, and I can't say that I know that I feel like every decision I make is right, but I feel like, I mean, I got to say it. I feel like if I'm doing the next right thing that the Lord has my back.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know how else to say it. So that relieves a lot of pressure right there. And man, I'm just going to say it. You started fishing with faith, dude, and good things start happening for you. And we're not on a gospel here. We're not, you know, but we're just talking about faith, man. And dude, wow. An amazing example again. All right. So Neely Henry, almost Cherokee. Yep. It happened. The dream. Matt had a dream. All right. You had a dream.
I told you about that dream before anybody.
Dude.
You and my wife.
And dude, when you called me, I'm like, yeah, dude, I love this. This is what I like to hear. This is what I like to hear from a competitive bass fisherman, from any competitive angler, from anyone that competes in anything, because that exudes confidence. That exudes that you are immersed in the situation. Okay, and it is on your mind. I've told you so many times. You and I have had the conversation about how bass fishing, it as weird as this sounds, it needs to be on my mind pretty much first thing in the morning because of what I do. My faith in bass fishing. I'm a weirdo, but but Matt, I mean, you do the same thing, man. And you made that call to me, and you had this dream, and you're like, dude, don't think I'm crazy, but I think I'm going to win. And I'm like, dude, that's great. That's great. You tell us. Tell us about the phone call.
I had that dream, and I called Pat, and I'm like, dude, I had this dream last night, and I'm telling you, it was so real. I won Neely Henry. And in my dream, I'd won Neely Henry, and I was getting on the Bass site, and I was trying to see where I was at in the points after that for the Elite Series.
So real.
like, for real. Like, this really happened. And it was, dude, I'm telling you, like, it was so real. Like, I thought it really happened. And I called you, and I told you about it, and I told Cass about it. And, I mean, I didn't tell too many people about it. I didn't want to sound like a psycho, you know, like having premonitions or anything. But I'm wondering if maybe I thought it was Neely Henry and maybe it was Cherokee. But either way, dude, I'm telling you, I mean.
Hey, Matt, I'm going to stop you, but like maybe it wasn't even Cherokee. Maybe it's the Bassmaster Classic.
Nah, I'm good with that. Yeah, yeah, I'm telling you.
So I got to ask you this. You make a decision to have some faith in your life and fish a little differently. You have a dream, and then you win the event at Cherokee. Is it a coincidence?
Absolutely not. Like I said, I'm used to talking trash, running my mouth, and I'll still do that. I'm going to tell you, it's too much fun. I grew up talking trash. It's just part of me, but absolutely not a coincidence. I feel like it unlocked a different part of me as far as, I'm going to say, on the mental side of things. I've never been so relaxed, man. It's like something's came over me, you know?
I get it, bro. I get it.
Like I said, I'm not talking really religious. I'm talking more spiritual than religious. But yeah, I mean, it's I'm fishing totally different, and I promise you there's anglers out there that know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anglers on the fishing professionally know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, dude. So I want to talk a little bit about another aspect that you told me along with fishing with faith that you said, dude, I'm going back to the roots. I just got out of Walmart and I went back to my roots, and this was at Neely Henry. And you're like,
people don't believe me.
You're like, dude, going to Walmart's is part of this whole ritual of me getting back to my roots. And you went to Walmart. Like, tell them, what does that mean? What is that?
Yeah, dude. So, man, I grew up river fishing, and I'm telling you, if you ever go to any river, everything you need's at Walmart. man, I stripped off all the high dollar line. I went and bought the 700 yards for $1.88 a spool. Spooled my stuff up. I bought half a dozen, you know, $5-6 square bills, couple spinner baits, couple chatter baits, couple dollar buzz baits, $1, not anymore. And dude, I grabbed a Walmart sack and I threw it in my tackle box, and that's what I fished out of for the week.
That's
and
awesome.
Dude, I grew up doing it, and literally that's everything you need for river fishing's at Walmart. Keeping it simple.
They got a lot of your Strike King stuff there. I know that.
They do. Red, hey, I think it may be one of the few places you can get that red eye spinnerbait. It's only like $3.50 for one.
Dude, I'm going to tell you the hot ticket at Walmart when it comes to Strike King products is that little Mr. Money George Cochran spinnerbait. Remember that little thing?
Oh, it's bad. Yeah, the little double Colorado. It may have an Indiana on it.
Yeah, that little 360. Oh, gosh. George Cochran won a bunch of money on that.
The Bitsy Flip, man.
You love that thing. You love the Bitsy Flip.
Oh, dude, it's my favorite.
What size do you like?
Quarter ounce.
Quarter's your deal. Do you use the one with the flipping hook?
Yeah, the Bitsy Flip. The one with the big hook.
The stout hook. Yeah. Yeah, I got you. I'm sorry, we're going off, and I'm being too much of a host.
No, you're good.
I'm being too much of a host.
It's all good.
I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, and I'll let you get to your guests and your show and everything. But,
yeah,
dude, I don't know about you, Matt, but I've been getting texts. I've been getting direct messages, phone calls. Pat, what is Wojo? And and I heard you give an explanation of it on the Bass University show. By the way, great job on the Bass University. Seriously, Matt. And Bass Galaxy, if you missed that last night, that's a side of Matthew Robertson that you need to hear as well. The technical bass fishing wizard side of Matt Robertson was last night on the Bass University. And I heard you talk.
Don't get that too often.
I know. Yeah, take it while you can, shake and bake. You know what I mean? But the Matt, you know, you told what Wojo was, and I'm not buying your definition. I think you kind of gave a. I think you kind of gave a canned answer, like, because you're kind of, I mean, I don't want to, you're kind of a celebrity right now, whether you like it or not. You're making the tour of bass fishing talk shows, you won a big derb, and, you know, so you kind of gave a little celeb answer to Wojo.
Yeah.
And,
I don't know. You want to know exactly what Wojo means, right?
Well, I know. I mean, I know. I
know you know.
I
but the world wants to know.
The people want to know.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way, Pat. I've had professional fishermen. I've had everybody asking me what Wojo means. And it's kind of like Mojo, you know, but it's better. It's Wojo.
That's all you got?
Okay. Wojo is it's that feeling inside of you that comes from deep in your loins that drives every man to chase
and woman
to drive and chase. I'm not necessarily what their dream is, but you know what their goal is in front of them, you know, and then help you succeed and finish that off.
Dude, that's the most amazing definition of, I wish we had.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Dude, that's the best definition that we've ever come up with.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like,
I don't remember what I said.
Well, it's on tape, so we got this now. Thank God we got that going for us. But that's Wojo. That is Wojo.
Yeah.
It's something that's an individual thing to all of us, and it's our own domain, which we are all become masters of to achieve the common goal of success in releasing that success.
Yes.
100% exactly. Wojo. 100% Wojo, dude. Fighters got, exactly. Fighters got the Wojo. Fighters got the Wojo, bro. There's a bunch of those anglers out there at the Texas Fest right now that got the eye of the Wojo, bro.
They're fixing to release the Wojo.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, dude, Zaldane's got the eye of the Wojo.
He does.
Palinik, we know he's got a full-on throttle Wojo.
Livesey just got done releasing the Wojo.
Frank the Tank and the massive Wojo.
That's right.
You know what I mean, dude?
That's right. So, I know what you mean.
I mean, Wojo, those college kids, the Wojos.
Yeah. A couple young Wojos being released.
The Wojo Rising.
The right? Wojo does rise.
Yeah, the Wojo Rising. That's just like that Doors song. It's right there, man. Hey, yeah. Matt, go ahead.
So there's been a lot of talk about proper bassing going around.
Yeah, and, that too, of course.
And
you like my shirt, Matt?
I do. I like it. I'm still waiting for mine. You won't get me one.
I got this from Andy, the producer. I wouldn't even have one. He's the best.
Andy?
Yeah.
No, strike two, bud. Strike two. You don't know? No sound effects for me? No proper bassing shirt?
We're getting interference. All right, son, we're losing Matt. Sorry.
Strike two. I'm telling you.
He raised his hand.
So, Pat.
Yes, proper bassing. Yes, sir.
What are some of the attributes that you would consider to be proper bassing?
Well, I think the first thing is that a proper bassing man teaches bassing ethics. So, yes. Like... just to preface, like the whole, I want to give everybody a little story. The proper Bassin man started with Henschel's Book of Black Bass. And if no one knows what Henschel's Book of Black Bass is, that's the first documented book on largemouth, smallmouth, and spotted bass. Henschel was, in essence, the first proper Bassin man in history. And proper Bassin men evolved throughout the years. Of course, it can be, and they don't have to be professional fishermen, man. Like, my grandpa was a proper Bassin man, you know? Like, I mean, I'm certainly not a professional fisherman, and I consider myself a proper Bassin man. But what we've seen is a lineage of professional anglers that are proper Bassin men. And let's just, like, go way back, bro. Like, Billy Dance, Roland Martin, Ricky Klun, legends.
Jimmy Houston.
Thank you. Legends. Yep. Legends. And what happened one day, Matt, was I had a little phone call with a gentleman named Denny Brower. And the premise of my phone call to Denny Brower was to set him up as a surprise guest for Mr. Seth Fighter, because Seth loved Denny Brower. So, and Denny had a series of questions that showed how Seth Fighter was a proper Bassin man and carrying that lineage and just you know, one of them was shattering eye crossing hook set. I mean, as simple as the mechanics of a proper Bassin man. You know, that you gotta have that eye crossing hook set, man. But Denny Brower kind of laid down some characteristics of a proper Bassin man, and Denny, you have to do things on your own, Matthew. That's a proper Bassin man. You don't take no crap, all right? You basically are respectful to your resource, to the fish, and you remember where you came from and why you are here, and that's one reason, and that's back to Henschel's Book of Black Bass, all right? So those are attributes of the proper Bassin man. What do you say, Matt? Like, what are some of your positive characteristics?
You know, talking about the lineage of a proper Bassin man, I believe those old school guys, I think the majority of them were proper Bassin men. And I think the proper Bassin has kind of been, I wouldn't say getting lost, but it's, people aren't following that ethics code of the proper Bassin men over the past few years. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see it. And I
it's been lost some.
Dude, that's kind of why, for lack of a better way, I kind of started the campaign for this thing, dude, because I saw a need for proper Bassin. There was other people that were doing things different ways. Like Randy Flowers and stuff was pointing out some certain things that were improper, and maybe educational is a different way to go about it, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's proper Bassin is the morals and ethics, the bass fishing, doing things the right way. You know, as simple as, you know, the bent pole pattern. If you see a bent pole, and you do anything off of that, you are not a proper Bassin man.
You see that on Kentucky Lake, don't you, buddy?
Oh, yeah. If you see a guy sitting on a spot and you go check it out later, you are not a proper Bassin man. Proper Bassin is putting in the blood, sweat, and tears, the hard work to pretty much, you know, succeed or, you know, get your success.
Yeah.
To succeed, you know.
Hard work equals success.
If you're not doing that hard work, blood, sweat, and tears to get to where you need to go, you're not a proper Bassin man.
Awesome, dude. I mean, that well put, Mr. Robertson.
Yeah.
And so now I got to ask you this. Like, what do you watch out for? What are an attributes of someone that might be. So let me back up a minute. So proper bassin, and correct me and argue with me all day, but like proper bassin is kind of like Jedi's, man. And Wojo is kind of like the Force. I mean, I don't see it any other way. If you want to argue with me, you can.
No, you got to have the Wojo to, and that's the Force to have the ability to be a proper bassin man.
That's the drive. The Wojo is the drive.
The drive. Yeah. Yep.
So what's a pseudo proper bassin man or a fake proper bassin man or a false proper or a sheep in wolf's clothing, as we may have heard once in the past.
Yeah, sheep in wolf's clothing.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of fishermen that put on the proper bassin front. You stretch rules, bend rules. I can't think of anything particular, but if you are looking at the rules to bend, twist, shape, reform of any kind, that's not proper bassin, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And then you get the this is what you really got to watch out for. And you'll see it in the evolution of bass angling as we come through here in the next few years. But it's the double-sided mouth talkers.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about. So,
oh, yeah.
So they're over here one day, but then they're over there the next. Do you know what I'm saying? And
you know, your proper bassin man had loyalty to proper bassin man.
100%.
100%. Whenever you see, you know, a dog roaming from herd to herd or whatnot, roaming here and roaming there, that's not a proper bassin man. And what they don't realize, any of you who are not proper bassin men, we know. You are not fooling us. We know you're not proper bassin. You come talk to us. We're short with you. There's a reason. We know you're not a proper bassin man.
Wow, Matt. You laid it on the line, didn't you?
You know it's true.
Those are the double-sided mouth talkers.
That's right.
They talk out both sides of their mouth. On the south side of Chicago, that's a big problem with people, and there's been a plenty of ass whoopings because of it.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I think you nailed it there, dude. You nailed it. Absolutely, you did. It all comes out in the wash, bud. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
How do you like being? You're doing good so far, by the way, as a bass.
I'm doing all right. I'll tell you one thing.
About
2 minutes,
boys.
Listen, Andy, do not time okay? I am the host, not Andy. We forgot the 10 cup whiskey drinking word, and it's my fault because I'm the host.
Oh, okay. What is it? What is it?
I apologize.
Okay.
There's still going to be plenty of Wojo left. So the 10 cup whiskey drinking word of the night is Wojo.
Wojo. Okay. So if you hear the word Wojo, Matthew is requesting that you take a drink, and it could be a drink of anything. And we ask that you please drink responsibly. The 10 cup whiskey drinking word of the week is Wojo. And Matt, I want to compliment you on your amazing set there in the trailer.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I designed it myself, believe it or not.
Yes.
I suspended my stray cast sign right here and self-made. I even drew me a tiger on there because I heard Eye of the Tiger earlier. My journey.
Matt thinks every damn band is Journey. Like you could hear it'll be Aerosmith and be like, dude, I love Journey, man. This one's good. This dude looked like a lady by Journey. I love this song. That's what you say, man.
but
like your set. I like your set.
Yeah, thanks. I worked pretty hard on it. Took me about 45 seconds.
Dude,
what about?
Go ahead.
Are we doing the announcement of the announcement?
I don't know. You're the host.
Yeah. So another announcement of the announcement.
Okay.
Of a new, can I say show?
Yeah.
A new show.
Yeah.
three long-haired, complete ratchet fishermen.
Okay.
Well, I'd say two ratchet fishermen and one really good long-haired fisherman.
No, they're all ratchet.
Yeah, I'd have to say. So I was trying to give him a little credit, Pat.
they're all ratchet.
Yeah, got a little something in the works. I'm probably going to be a superstar by July of 2021. I will say that.
Okay.
I'll probably be a superstar.
I like your prediction. And so that's yourself and a couple other long-haired bass fishermen.
Yeah, but I'm like the superstar drummer. You'll be the singer, and our other long-haired buddy will probably be the lead guitarist. So I'm still down here, but I'll still be a superstar.
Dude, I can't wait. What is it? Like, tell us a little bit about the show. What's the show? Like, what is
Man,
it?
It's going about these three guys going on adventures of some fishing adventures.
Are they proper or not?
They are proper. I can promise you that. And if one of them gets out of line and does something not proper, I can promise you that they're going to rip him and get him back in line.
Publicly. It's going to be like on Game of Thrones where they're going, shame. 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 Shame.
Yes. Y'all may see me walk naked down the aisle of a bunch of people. Okay. I mean,
at least in your tighty whities. We're absolutely 100% positive of that. Well, I'm excited for this show that you're going to be in with a couple people.
Yeah, me too, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the girls are excited to see me in the whitey tighties. I know we're going to get viewers there. So, I mean, that's a given.
So, I heard that the agency sent it out as a test viewing, and there has never been a more well-received pilot of a fishing show in Bassin history. Never.
Yes.
The words that have come back to me about your show, Matt, is this is probably the best or the worst show that's ever happened in bass fishing.
That's what I hear. And yeah. I believe it's, you know, that critic is probably dead on.
Yeah. Dead on. Dead on is right, dude.
Yeah.
right on.
All right.
Hey, Matt, dude, you got a good life, man. I mean,
yeah.
Let's be real about this. You won about 50K in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah. That's a nice little pay increase.
Yeah, I'm still at the trailer park. Though, yeah. Pat.
Well, dude, you're mayor. I wouldn't go nowhere. And I know you and Cassie got vacation property right around the corner. I know it's right over there. You're on the sprawling.
Yeah, I have a barn.
You have a barn, yes, sir. Poles. and you're right there on sprawling, beautiful land between the lakes in Kentucky. Yeah. Dude, I mean, you live a good life. You qualified for the Bassmaster Classic. All right, hey man, I'm getting out of line, dude. Wait, Matt,
you're good.
Take over, Matt.
Listen, you gotta remember, I'm the one who is going to be a TV superstar.
Yes, you are.
Along with my two buddies.
Yes.
We're all three gonna be TV superstars.
Who gets the monkey, by the way, out of the three?
I get the monkey, Pat.
But can you not get the one like in Hangover? Can you get like a one that you can?
I want the little monkey. I don't want a chimpanzee waddling.
Not like Michael Jackson's monkey?
No, I'll take the little monkey on my shoulder.
So not like Bubbles, but like the Hangover monkey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I could get a cat. Get a kitty.
What is that? Like, that's two extremes to the other. A cat, you could get a cat. So we were talking about cool monkeys, and then you went...
Well, I was talking like a mountain lion or something.
That's what I'm saying. Cougars.
Yeah. So, since I'm a TV superstar in the making.
Okay.
And now the host of StrayCast, I would like to introduce my first guest, Brian Latimer.
Well, you gotta
get... Oh.
Come on, Andy. Dude, hey, listen. Does Pat have this problem? No, dude, you're not working for me here. Strike three, Andy. You're effing out, bud.
You Hold are on. The best host ever, Come Matt. On. Matt, you are seriously like the best host ever of Straight Cast. Like, you know what's cool? Like I have to do 3 shows a month. Maybe I could just do 2 and you could do 1.
Yeah. Listen, Pat, I might be able to do 2 for you a month and you do 1.
Okay.
I'll come up to South Side Chicago again, bud.
You been on that Shameless kick, bud?
I love Shameless. Maybe Fiona will come visit me.
You would love that. Cassie and
my wife not find out about it. Mm.
I've been on the Office lately.
The Office. Oh gosh, yeah. I love The Office.
I've been your Instagram video reminded me a lot of Michael Scott today.
Yeah.
By the way, yeah. When you said
no,
yeah, you're like, you want to know something about me that you don't already know. That was outstanding.
Hey, I love The Office.
Dude, me too. Matt, are you going to do No Shave November? I am.
No, dude, I cannot do it, man.
Why?
Like, dude, whenever that stuff gets a little bit, I start itching and I go crazy.
I do too. Yeah.
And it's superstitious. I can't fish a derb without shaving. I have to shave within 2 nights of a derb or I won't catch them.
Yeah, I you know who else does that? Our buddy Fighter shaves before the derb.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. That's one of his rituals de habitual.
Yeah. Man. If I don't shave, dude, I'm done.
That and he. And
plus, I've had a beard, and dude, hey, I grew this beard out about like yes, 1.5, 2 inches long, and then I shaved it. Had a mustache. Looked just like Matthew McConaughey from Dazed and Confused. Looked like a daggum pedophile, buddy.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I cannot. Hey, you don't want to see me with just a mustache.
Oh, no. That's horrible.
You know what I love about high school girls?
Oh, goodness gracious, Matt. You would kind of be a good McConaughey character. That's tough to say.
I'm going to tell you, if somebody plays me in a movie,
yeah,
it's either going to be Matthew McConaughey or Danny McBride.
Okay.
Or they can take turns, either or, you know?
What if, that would be good, like cameos. And then Hasselhoff, too, would be your stunt guy.
Yeah, Hasselhoff could be my stunt guy.
I could see Chuck Norris playing you, too.
Chuck Norris is dead, Pat.
Oh, is he? Gosh, dang
no.
it. No. I just got sad a minute. Hey, there's Matt. I see Matt. What's going on, Andy?
Getting Brian in.
How's he doing, Matt?
Not worth the crap, dude. He's supposed to be my support system. I don't have no sound effects. I don't have no Brian Latimer.
Just think if that was your tournament support system.
Honestly, that was before the last 2 darts. This is how all my tournaments went. So I'm used to it. I'm used to it, dude.
It all happens. Are you going to buy a new truck or what? Now you got money, you going to get a new truck?
Dude, they want what? I bought 10 acres for less than what they want a daggum truck for. I can't afford one of them things. I'm just gonna keep on fixing old Blue out there. You know, throw a little 1,000 here and 1,000 there in turn. You got to keep running. You know what I mean?
Well, you got 50 of them now, so you can throw 50 of those thousands in there.
Yeah.
And then
I've been trying to figure out how to strap up that back glass. You know, get a couple locks and a chain. And
did they ever beat the shit out of that guy in Texas yet or
dude,
what?
They caught him.
Yeah.
They caught those 2 guys 2 weeks ago.
What's his name? They caught up with him down the street. What's the name of that kid we used to beat the heck out of down the street again? What's his name?
Mongoloid Mike.
That's him. What'd they do to him in Texas?
Oh, they beat the shit out of him. They 6 undercover cops, busted them, and they got some of my stuff back. I don't know what yet. I know they didn't get all of it back. I seen a few pictures, but not much. But like I said, I hadn't heard nothing. I probably need to try to contact them, but I've been waiting for them to contact me. But I know how how all that stuff is.
Yeah, and things are going good, you know.
Yeah, yeah, dude. I'm not interrupting the circle of the universe. So I've just been kind of leaving that whole situation alone, you know. And yeah, just waiting on Andy here, bud.
No, it's his internet's having problems. He's trying to connect, but it's...
Oh, I got it. Yeah, he told me he had bad service at his house. But if something happens, it's all good, you know.
He's trying.
It's all good, man. I like Brian.
That dude, I mean, he fishes with, like you fish, with faith and heart.
He really does, you know. He sent me a message the night before the final day, you know, and it was pretty encouraging. And dude, I'm going to tell you, like, you know how you were talking about there's certain anglers that the bass, and I'm going to call the Bass Galaxy kind of rallies behind.
Yes, sir.
Brian Latimer, Carl Joe Compson. You know, I feel like I've kind of, you know, finagled my way into that a little bit. And dude, it's surreal, you know, all the other anglers that you're fishing against rooting for you, you know, and it's pretty special.
Yeah, man. It's got to make you feel good, man. I mean,
it does, dude.
I mean, it's probably something you can't describe, dude.
It is, you know, anglers like Brian, you know, all these other anglers, Whitney Stevens, you know, some of the other open competitors, John Hunter, man. I mean, all of them, whenever every one of those guys, and even, you know, the fans tell me that, you know, they was pulling for me, you know, they was rooting for me. You know, I foreseen myself, you know, with the success, but I never even thought about, I'm going to say, the fan base that came with it and the camaraderie and whatnot. It's really special, dude. I didn't expect none of that going throughout this, but yeah, it's a special thing to have even the fishermen you're competing against behind you.
Yeah. And I mean, and I know you told me, like, and if you want to share this, some of the anglers that reached out to you to congratulate you were some pretty big name, guys. Tell us about that if you want to.
Yeah, man. I can't remember all of them.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I don't know if I'm supposed to throw names out or not. You know,
well, you, some of your idols, dude, some of the guys that, I mean, go ahead and say it. Who cares?
Man, Zona shot me a text and congratulated me. Core Spider, you, guys like Lee Livesey, man, dude,
dude, like,
so
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you were all excited about Ike and Ellie.
Ike and Ellie text me and was like, hey, dude, congratulations. I enjoyed watching you fish. You know, great job. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, who'd ever thought Ike and Ellie would text some ratchet from the trailer park in Kentucky congratulating him, you know, much less, you know, saying he enjoyed watching me fish. But yeah, dude, it's insane.
Dude, and I know to say that, I know how you feel a little bit about that. I do a little bit because I'm in a position here where, I mean, man, I have
a successful show.
I'm nothing special. Don't get me wrong. I'm just some long dude. I'm a loser half my life. You know what I mean? And, you know, with that Tom Petty song, even the losers get lucky sometimes.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, man. I'm a bass fishing freak, dude. Like, I live and breathe bass fishing. And so in order to, like, for example, like, if I can, you know, like, for Aaron Martins to invite me to his house, like, just doesn't seem real. Do you know what I mean? That don't seem real to me, buddy. It's crazy. And so I do know what you mean. Like, okay, you're here in the damn trailer park, even though you're mayor, so you're already a big deal there. But
yeah, I am. I mean, how many people are really the mayor of the trailer park?
Just you. And you get a text from Mike Iaconelli. It's cool stuff, dude. You're on the Bass University podcast. You're on every.
Yeah, that was. I never dreamed of being on Bass U, man. And to be on there with Pete, Brian, and them, it was Rich. And, dude, it was something I never even thought about. But it was very, I wouldn't say a dream come true, but it was very fulfilling, you know.
Matthew Robertson, bass fishing instructor.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
He's trying to connect right now.
Okay. Oh, okay. Right. So
he's having big issues.
Okay. Well, you could Andy, you could tell us if you want us to keep going.
He's,
we can.
No, he's right. He's coming in right now.
Okay. Real good. Brian Latimer. Hopefully. I think he's pulling into the cove.
Something.
Yeah, let's put the power poles down, Matt. Let's wait here for him.
Put the power poles down.
Let's wait here for him.
There he is.
Do we got Brian?
Where you at, Brian?
You guys are campground partners, weren't you? Almost.
We really was.
Yeah, you were real
close. That's what I really wanted to talk to him about.
Well, I'll save it then. I won't blow it for you.
No, you're good.
Well, as soon as I see Brian, I know we're good, I guess. I see you, Matthew Robertson, and I.
He's trying.
Brian's.
I will say. Me and Brian don't look alike too much, so you'll be able to tell the difference.
You don't think?
No, he's got a little darker hair than me.
You're something else. You're something else, Matt Robertson.
He left again. Uh-oh. His internet's messing up bad.
Uh-oh.
Hey, man, if he can't make it, it's all good.
Yeah, at least you tried, Matt. You got You lined up an awesome guest as a host.
Yeah, I tried, dude. Sometimes she goes. It's like they say, sometimes she goes, sometimes she don't. That's just how she goes.
Is that how it goes? Are you trying to say whack 'em and stack 'em? Is that what you mean? Like, put him in the boat, whack 'em and stack 'em?
Yeah. Whoa, Joe, that's right.
Okay, well.
You want me to tell Brian?
We'll
try to.
Yeah, you can tell Brian if he can't get on, it's no big deal.
But that there it is from your host right there. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, if he can't get on, it's no big deal. We'll take care of it.
His internet just keeps kicking him off.
No, that's cool.
And if he wants to pop in anytime, he can. Like if he you tell us, Andy, if he want, you know, if he can knock in, we'll let it be.
Well, we can get John if you want.
Okay.
Well, let me talk about Brian real quick.
Yeah,
okay.
Go for it.
Sure.
Okay. So since Brian's not here, I want to tell everybody about the place we stayed at Neely Henry.
Okay.
It's called Nomad's Land, and I found it. I found it on Airbnb, and I'm gonna tell you something. I think it contributed to my success because I was staying in a school bus. Okay, in a small school bus with a bed in it. And the shower was outdoors. It was three pieces of tin with a tankless water heater going to a spigot. And
a hole in the wall.
A hole in the wall, rug on one side. And every night I took a shower butt naked under the stars and the moon.
That's amazing.
And at first I was a little, skeptical about it. But there's something exhilarating about it, Pat. I'm telling you. I loved it. I didn't have any internet service. And I was secluded. And I just kind of was engulfed in bassing. I didn't have the Facebook or Instagram to scroll through. And, man, I think that, you know, all I could think about was fishing. I didn't have nothing to distract me. And Brian actually stayed across the road. I didn't know for a day or two he was there, but he stayed in a treehouse.
That's awesome.
He actually made him want to build one, but he had a shower in his. I told him at the derby, I said, Brian, I'm pretty disappointed you didn't invite me over to the treehouse, bud. Because I wanted to see it. But yeah, man, me and Brian, we stayed there, and it's pretty cool. It's one of the other outdoor showers was some bamboo staked in the ground with going to a spigot and a tankless water heater. But it was pretty cool.
Dude, it's pretty awesome. And I like how you said that too. You kind of you took yourself out to put yourself in. You know,
yeah.
And you kind of unknowingly, in essence, practice a form of Rick Klun's total immersion. Now, for those that don't know what Rick Klun's principle of total immersion is, it's that Rick Klun has stated that he knows how to win every tournament. As crazy as that sounds.
He is right. He says, telling you he's right.
He knows how to win every tournament, but it is not fair to the ones that he loves, because what you have to do is totally immerse yourself and become the bass. And as crazy as that sounds, that's what it is. But you practice a variation of it. You know, Brian, in essence, practiced a variation of it. Brandon Palahniuk practiced a variation of it with his camping. And, you know, I mean, of course, Klun took it to extremes.
It's very much more of an extreme. But
bathing in the water and all of such. But
I got a taste of it, and I have a much bigger respect for Rick Klun because, you know, in that aspect, some people don't really understand, but now I have the understanding for it.
And see, that's a good point, because it's like that might be an aspect of proper bassing that's missing. Because I think that, like, in this fast world, man, like where you know, we're let's just say it, judged on likes and views and in everything else, it becomes like maybe you're chasing that instead of the bass. You know what I mean? And when
after Neely Henry at Cherokee, whenever I did well, I would copy a picture from Bass, paste it to Instagram, write something really quick, post it, and get off as fast as I could. And I was doing it because I had to do it, but it was very minimal as far as the social media. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of fishermen now, I call them phone fishermen, you know, people who text asking for help, whatnot. And I'm telling you, the best thing to do is just to roll out without help, put the phone up. Every day I put my phone in my box and I wouldn't look at it until I took the boat out. And I'm telling you, it makes a difference in success, I believe.
Because you kind of, remove yourself from everything else and you put yourself into the equation with the task at hand. Now, it's tough to do, you know, people with families, you know, with friends, with loved ones, with social media, with business partners, sponsor obligations, all of this in modern bass fishing. But there are variations. I have made a vow on this show to, I think that it's a proper move on my part that I will no longer book guests the night that they prior to tournaments. So in other words, if the professional has an event the next day, I will not book them on this show going forward. And you notice I've already kind of started that. The exception was Lee Livesey the last time with the opens he was fishing, but Lee insisted, and that's the exception. Like, if the angler's like, dude, I don't care, I want to come on the show that night, and it ain't gonna mess with my fishing, that's not me. So then by all means I'll have him on the show. But I think that it's my responsibility as a bass fishing talk show host to respect
co-host.
That's right. Wait. Oh my gosh, they're finally here. The audience is here. Wow, you hear them?
Excellent!
Yeah! All
right, we're back.
Okay.
Nice.
Now we got it. Can we get Latimer?
No, he tried. Like, he's still trying, man.
Okay.
That's okay.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
Hey,
So, let's, Andy, can we go ahead and get John?
Yeah, let me tell him. Give me, like, 2 minutes.
Hey,
10 minutes?
Two.
Two. Okay. That's his northern. That was his northern accent. That was our Chicago accent. Two sounds like ten.
Yeah, ten. I'll give you 60 seconds, bud.
Hey, Matt, agree or disagree? The 2020 Bass Opens have been the most competitive Bass Opens in history.
Agree.
Why?
Agree. And I've it's. You got anglers from FLW coming over trying to make the Elite Series. You got anglers going from the Bass Pro Tour trying to, you know, make the Classic, get back into the Elite Series. Bass is the place to be. And everybody's trying to get to the Elite Series. And all you have to do is look at that list of names. And you'll see that all these guys can catch them. It's the most loaded field I've ever seen of any tournament ever. I would say the Elite Series are the best anglers in the world, but I'm going to tell you something. The Bass Opens is not a very friendly place to be in as far as competition, you know?
No prisoners there.
Yeah, no prisoners taken.
Man, you guys are definitely cutthroat. There's no doubt about it, and everyone wants to qualify for those elites. I mean,
that's right.
Your guest Brian Latimer, hungry, eye of the Wojo, hungry, yeah. Hungry AF, as the kids say.
And Brian will get there. I'm telling you, Brian Latimer will make it to the Elite Series.
100%.
No, he will.
He's driven, man. He's driven, man. You know, and Latimer's on the upswing too. You know,
yeah, he had two good derbs. Yeah, you know, good at Cherokee, or did good at Neely Henry. I'm going to give the school bus and the treehouse credit to both of our finishes. And I'm speaking for him. I don't know. I'm probably wrong. But we're going to go ahead and give the Nomad Lands a little bit of credit for those two finishes. And he did good at Cherokee, man. He 32nd, 33rd.
32nd? Yeah, 33rd. He was 33rd at Neely.
33rd.
And I think he was pretty close to in the 30s or something at the Cherokee, too, right?
Yeah, dude. He two real good tournaments. Brian's proved he can win. And, dude, I'm telling you. One thing I tell you I give Brian credit for is, his YouTube channel, he films all this stuff, and I don't know how he does it because I tried to do it. Like, I was going to film a YouTube series, and I just, between the practicing, the videos and all this, I just couldn't manage it, dude.
Yeah,
I couldn't manage it.
He's always working, dude. Iaconelli, they're always doing something.
I couldn't imagine, you know, being up as late as he is, getting everything going. But heck, man. I got mad respect for Brian, more than he knows. Dude, he's a killer on the water.
Hey, you did a good job, Matt, of like having a guest but not having a guest.
Yeah.
Like, just so you know, like, you covered everything about your guest really good, in even though he wasn't here.
Well, I'm thinking about giving strike four to Andy because I've never seen you have a guest on and then bail and something happen like this.
It could be because Andy's not here.
It's happened a little bit.
Yeah, it could be.
That's possible.
No, Andy, Matt's mad at you, Andy.
Whatever. Won't be the first time.
Hey, speaking of camaraderie and speaking of getting by with a little help from your friends.
Yep.
Here's somebody who's no stranger to Stray Cast, and he was here not too long ago inadvertently with Takumi Ito. And ladies and gentlemen, we are now bringing it up for Mr. John.
John Jezerski.
John Jezerski. What's up, Big J?
I'm doing well, doing well. How about you guys?
Okay. Doing good, buddy. It's good to see you.
Yeah, you too, man. Congrats again, pulling off the big win. That was an amazing, amazing tournament, and just a fun time to be in the back of your boat cheering you on.
Man. I fished with John twice, and I'm gonna tell you, he's a great guy, and dude, I couldn't have won this thing. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I couldn't have won it without him. We was talking, and he. You know, he brought me a bait. I asked him to bring me a sexy dog, and he got one from I believe Kenta Kamara, and at 11:45, whenever I didn't have nothing, I looked at him and I said, "You got that sexy dog?" He's like, "Oh yeah." And I think he started singing something about catching some big fish. I can't remember. Do you remember, John? You said something about hunting down some big fish. We're going to catch them or something.
No, my running joke for you was, let me know when you want to go call these fish out.
Yeah, that's what it was. Let me know whenever you want to go call them.
That's a great co-angler, ain't it?
Dude, I'm telling you, whenever you're out there and it's 11:45, and you ain't got nothing, you're out there partners, man, and you're going to try to help each other out. And that's what John did. He gave me that sexy dog, and dude, we rolled up in that first pocket there, caught a 3-pounder, went to the next pocket, caught a keeper, and then we, John had a few smallmouth places that him and his practice partner got some bites, maybe Kenta, and they, and dude, we ran a couple of them, and dude, it's good looking stuff. Should have got bit, didn't get some bites, and just kept on running, running pockets, and it worked out, dude. I'm serious. I couldn't have won it without John. And I've thanked him 100 times, ain't I, John?
Yeah, you sure did. Yeah. No, it's all good. I was rooting for you 100%. It was your time, and I wanted to see you get back to the classic because that was just some of the nuttiest stuff I've ever seen in my life, right from the front row.
Yeah, buddy, it's going to happen again.
When somebody comes in to Kid Rock and I'm from Michigan, it's like, yeah, this guy is for real. He's a wild man.
Yeah. Hey, I think that, Matt, if you correct me if I'm wrong, but John is a proper bassin' man to the extreme.
John is very much so proper bassin' man to the extreme. John runs with proper bassin' men.
You can tell a proper bassin' man by the company they keep. You know that.
That's exactly right. The Japanese anglers, there's not every one of them are proper bassin' men. I've gotten to talk to a few of them.
Wait, hold on one second, okay. Matt. Hold on. Hold that thought. Andy, do you hear the echo I'm getting?
What's that?
We're getting a big echo. Maybe, John, do you have your sound on still on something else? Because it seems...
I don't know. I hope not. Is it bad?
I don't hear it now, though.
Yeah, it stopped. I think it stopped now. Something happened.
I think I got it.
Okay, Andy good. Got it. I'm sorry. So the Japanese are proper bassin men, 100%.
Yeah, it's good. You got it.
Yeah. And you know, I have a big respect for all the Japanese anglers. I've gotten to talk to Masa some. Was it Mamo? Is that the
Mamo?
Mamo. Mamo was my co-angler the last day at Neely Henry, and I'm going to tell you something. And I told John this, all American fishermen could take a lesson from the Japanese anglers. I've never seen anglers more driven. I've never seen anglers try so hard on the water. Mamo, listen, I was throwing an isolated wood and he was plugging a DT6 and, a crankbait out on open flats. And dude, he caught a 3-pounder and another keeper. And I've never seen... I'm telling you, like, I'm not just saying this. I've never seen such focus in anglers in my life. It's, I've never been that focused. It's unimaginable what these Japanese anglers are capable of. And I didn't realize it. I honestly didn't realize it till I was in the boat with Mamo.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine Kenta, Masa. Masa won. He won the open on Sam Rayburn. And, you know, talking about proper bassing, I wanted to fish where Masa was the first day, and John drew me the second day, and we were the first boat out, weren't we, John? Nobody passing us.
No. Not a chance.
And you know, I knew he was sitting in a good spot, and I didn't even think about going over there. You know what I mean?
Hey John, you, I know that you get that, that you hang out with the Japanese anglers a lot. In fact, you're very gracious to them as far as housing and accommodations when they're in the area. And so yeah. I need to ask you if you could, how do you say wojo in Japanese, and how do you say proper basin man in Japanese?
Yeah, right. You know what I know in Japanese? I know, first name basis. That's what I know. I know Taku and Masa and Kenta. That's my Japanese.
And I once knew Japanese. I sang a nursery song with Takumi once Takahiro, but I already forgot Japanese.
Yeah.
But Matt, how do you say wojo in Japanese? Matt.
Wojo.
Oh, it's still wojo. Okay. Wojo. It makes perfect sense. Yeah.
We could probably get the translation for proper basin man.
Yeah, we really could. Yeah.
Well, that is something we could get.
Yeah.
You might need to. Yeah.
We need that.
So they know, they got to understand what's going on out there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to see how cool it looks with the Japanese letters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'll look pretty badass. Sorry. Back to the host, Matt. Sorry, Matt.
But yeah, man, I would. So from the outside looking in without having. I'm gonna just say the interaction with the Japanese anglers. I'm just far more intrigued. I would like to fish with a couple of them, you know, maybe be able to communicate, you know, fairly decent with them. It kind of intrigues me, you know.
I really enjoy it, and like you're saying, these guys are truly driven, and they do take it to another level in tweaking the baits and just their drive. They're giving up their families and their lifestyle in Japan just to come here to pursue that dream, and that's what really drives them. They're making the most of their opportunity when
total
they're
immersion.
Here. Same with Taku making the elites, and same with Masa and Kenta. Their ultimate goal is to make the elites in the Bassmaster Classic. So that's what drives these guys. And it's amazing. I love to learn with them.
It's a total immersion, Matt. See?
Yeah, it is. I know that they know. Rick Klun knows the total immersion. And I don't know if John heard us talking about it. But,
a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what those Japanese anglers are doing. It's total immersion in fishing. And it's like Rick Klun said, they're sacrificing a lot of things, you know, their family, their relationships. They're over here, and all they have is each other and guys like you who support them. And
the bass community.
It's a bass community.
Right.
And obviously, they're running with the right kind of guys like John, you know. Shoot, man, I still can't believe I got the bait right up there sitting on my mantle. The sexy dog.
Do you have to give that back or no? Does he have to give that back, John?
Well, I told him there was two ways to keep it, and he either had to give it back or it has to hang on the trophy. So he said he was going to hang it on the trophy, and I said that's where it belongs.
Nice.
My word, it'll stay there.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
John,
he earned it. He deserves it.
John's a pretty badass co-angler.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know, and they need to know. John, you've won two opens as a co-angler?
I've won two. My first in 2017 on the James River. I did catch an 8-9 behind Iaconelli, so that was kind of a good time. And I don't know. I don't know if I should say it on here or not, but we did have an Ike moment right after that, about 10 minutes later. It was pretty awesome. So,
what do you mean?
I won't go into too many details, but
it was memorable.
It was awesome. And yeah, just catching the fish. Ike was super cool. He landed all my fish for me. I ended up catching three on the day, so it was pretty cool. But catching an 8-9 behind him on a shaky head was just an amazing deal. So,
oh my gosh.
That's what it takes to win. And then in 2019, I won Chickamauga, and that was another pretty huge tournament for me. And I've just been truly blessed. Like I said, I roll with the greatest group of guys. I roll with like five or six guys. We get a house together, and I just get to pick their brain every night and get to practice with a bunch of them. And, you know, I fished with Garrett Paquette for like 3 years before he made the elites, and he's taught me a ton. And
Garrett's awesome.
Follow his lead, and he is a phenomenal angler.
Century Club member.
Yeah.
Garrett Paquette.
And then Taku Ito, he's just given me a ton of wisdom, and I'm trying to learn that power fishing finesse game. So
there you go.
Yep. It's just hanging out with the best guys. You're just going to advance so much faster. So
it rubs off a little, huh?
Yeah.
He's running with some fishing gangsters, buddy.
That's all right.
Yeah, I got the best posse in the world. No doubt about it. Punisher posse all the way for life.
Hey, John, do you have your best tournaments when you fish on heart and faith as opposed to maybe preconceived notions?
Yeah, I don't take any credit for what my success. I mean, I give all my glory to God, and I do have a strong faith in my family, and my mom is my prayer warrior, so I got to give a shout out to her. She is in constant prayer for me for success. And
Hold on 1 second, John. John, hold on.
Yeah. Hey, Mom! John's mom is his prayer warrior, too.
I just had to let my mom know that. Thanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're the best. Thanks, that's hilarious. Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm in the basement. Where, you know, I mean, I learn a lot. I've been in the game for 30 years, so I've seen a lot. I know a lot. But, you know, my fishing abilities, they're just average, I would say. But, I just have a strong faith, and I get a lot of good wisdom, and that's what it takes, you know, and trust in God. So
heck yeah, dude.
I want to ask you something. How much do you think? I know you fished with Garrett Paquette, great angler. How much do you think that the fishing with the Japanese anglers has advanced your capabilities of catching fish?
I've known Kenta. I went out with Kenta and practice one day before Cherokee, and I've met Kenta. We got together in the FLW days 18 years ago. So I've known Kenta 18 years ago.
Okay.
So I've been in contact with him and Masa for quite a few years, and I just love to learn, and I do try and just pick their brain anytime we camp together with Masa and Mamo and, you know, Taku and everybody. And when you're camping together, you're just sharing fish stories and everything else, you know. So you're learning. I'm learning leaps and bounds every tournament.
You know, other than the sexy dog, I've learned from them too. I've paid attention, and I know you know I've paid attention because I showed him and Masa. I had a bunch of Japanese bait shipped in from Japan. They were very hard to get. I was told you really couldn't get them. And so I searched and I found a little nugget.
Yeah.
I had brought in.
and it will pay off for you. I know that it'll pay off.
Yeah. The depth baits are for real, guys. I'm a depth glide bait fisherman. I love the depth glide baits, but I hadn't trickled into the other Japanese baits. And I'm going to tell you something. They have stuff innovative that they have innovated our baits.
Insane.
To make them better and more fishable.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. You need to look at whoever's fishing, expand your knowledge and start checking out the Japanese line of baits like the depths and stuff.
I'm science.
Telling you, it's unbelievable.
They got some bass science.
Real quick, Nori's with Taku Ito is he's the strong producer of a lot of Nori's baits also, and they're Japan only. And then Kenta and Masa are both depths designers, so they've been in the game a long time, so very impressive.
And depths has always been quality. My first experience with depths was the Buzz Jet.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the first depths bait I think I threw was the Buzz Jet Junior.
I believe that's possibly one of Kenta's designs.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a good one, man.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I know for a fact the Evoke crank is his for sure. I mean, he's the master cranker, so.
Really? Okay. In
Hank Pat, that's your guy.
I know. I got to talk to him. I do. Thank you, John. That you're bringing this up, John, and I want to, you know, I'm sure you're in the same. How old are you, John?
Young. I'm
okay.
52.
You're young. Okay. So you and I are really close in age. So when, I'd say back around 1993 that you would not believe what I went through living in Boca Raton, Florida to get Megabass, Vision 110s and Pop X's sent from California to Florida. It was like a big deal, dude. It was not as easy as going to Japan Tackle. You know what I mean? So I'm aware, I'm not trying to date myself, Matt, but man, the Japanese have been on it for like ever. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I have. Yeah.
It's amazing.
I was a little skeptical of some of their stuff. I'm not going to lie. You know, I was a little skeptical. But I have stuff shipped from Japan all the time. I'm a swim baiter. They have, you know, I don't mean jump on some bandwagon baits, but that Ballam 300, dude, I saw it. And dude, I had three of them shipped over here right out the gate, the Depths 250s, you know. I'm a first glide bait fish I ever caught was on a Depths 250.
Nice.
And I actually have, Depths just came out with the new Gizzard Shad color, and I got a 145 that'll be here in 2 days and a 250 that'll be here next week. So yeah, I'm on the bandwagon, boys.
That's awesome.
Hey, you getting ready to travel too, John? You getting ready to hit the road again?
Yeah, we have the last central at Louisville in a couple weeks here, and then we go back to Lay Lake for the last Eastern. So I've been fishing all of them. So I do travel with a bunch of great guys. I got to say, Tyler Berger, Cody Bertrand is my central open partner.
Cody's my Cody's from town
and,
here.
And Matthew McCarthy is another angler that hangs with us. So
gotcha.
Nice.
Yep. So it's good as a co. I get to travel with these guys and get to get in their boats every day to practice, and I really appreciate what they do for me. So
it's good to have
on
that,
the water.
That posse, no doubt. Hey, John, Cody Bertrand's dad and I were like the only guys in Lansing, Illinois that bass fished in 1984. You know?
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Joe's amazing.
Joe's
He's
killer.
Super guy.
Love that, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think it's cool that you guys are, that you have this. We have a song on Stray Cast, and it's called Fishing Gypsy. And really, it's about bass fishermen that travel, and it's what we do, and it's our lifeline, man. Yeah. And you guys are fishing gypsies, man.
Yeah. That's awesome.
No doubt about it. Hey, John, how's Matt doing as a host?
He's doing great. So far, so good. I like it.
You know, I feel like I've kind of done subpar. I had much better envisions of myself as being a talk show host.
Are you nervous?
No, I'm not really nervous. I just had the worst memory ever. I had my notebook here, and I still can't remember anything. I basically whacked out a page of it with the technical difficulties with Brian. So it's like improv, and I'm not the greatest at improv. Yeah. It's kind of like, what do I do with my hands? You know?
All right, well, I'm going to give you guys some bass fishing talk show host questions now. Okay, are you ready?
Okay. Sure.
And we're kind of going to close the show with some meat and potatoes. Some real wojo, if you know what I mean. Beans above the frank, all right? So the first question I have, and I'll ask you, John, okay? How can you, and I'm going to ask the same question to you, Matt, so get ready. How can you improve yourself as an angler, John?
Oh, wow. Just a short memo. Most of these tournaments that I've been in, I've actually had the fish on to make the top 12 cut. So Execution and angler error is probably my biggest weakness.
Okay.
The bait selection and all that, getting the bites. I can think back, I cashed 3 out of 6 checks this year, and I probably should cashed a 5 out of 6. I had the fish on to do well and make top 12 cuts in many tournaments. So, wow. Angler error, I would say.
What have you done mentally to account for this or accommodate?
I think just the basics, what I can do is, losing fish, you got to have all your hooks sharp. I do like to try and change my hooks often depending on what I'm doing and the right line. I broke off a couple at Hartwell on light line, and I'm not a light line guy. You know, Matthew, he's a light line guy, but me, I see a 2.5 at the boat, spotted bass, bite my my little Ned rig, and I set the hook like I got a flipping stick in my hand. So, yeah, I broke 2 off at the boat and
a little thirsty
Hartwell, and I should have made the cut easy. So, very disappointing.
How about you, Matt? How can you improve as an angler?
Well, I think one of the keys is I'm going to have to start taking showers outside under the stars every time.
Okay. I like it.
Other than that, basically just let it go, you know. Don't try to be such a control freak on the water. Let things progress on their own. Listen, I had a horrible practice for Cherokee. I had some buddies have horrible practices, and I think they kind of give up. And sometimes that one keeper you catch is going to clue you in to winning the biggest derby of your life.
Right.
Just stop worrying so much and just go fish.
So I you said worry, Matt. I want to ask you this while we're on this. What's your biggest fear? Your biggest fear as an angler?
Man, it's not really for me. It's just failure. You know, I have a goal. I want to make the Elite Series. I have myself in a position right now to do that. And man, I don't want to let myself down.
Okay.
You know, I'm not really worried about anybody else or their opinions. You know, if I don't make it, you know, they'll be like, you know, well, they'll say whatever. I don't care. I'm scared to let myself down because I know my potential, you know?
Sure. That's a, and we're all our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Hey, John, why do you do this? Why are you a co-angler, John? Why do you even fish these opens? Why do you do this?
Well, I've been at this for 30 years. I've did the boater side for quite a few times and had some success and then got out of it for a while. And Garrett Paquette started fishing as a boater again, and I just decided I'd roll along with them. And now I've just started, you know, continued that for the last like 6 years now. So I just enjoy it. I enjoy the people. I enjoy meeting new friends, the Japanese anglers, and even Carl Jacobson. I mean, it's kind of cool to see all these guys coming from around the world to chase this dream of the Bassmaster Elites and the Classics.
And even the Johnstons from Poland.
Exactly.
The Johnston brothers. They're the most famous Polish anglers on tour.
Yep, exactly.
Guys are amazing.
I enjoy it.
Hey, how hard is it to compete as a competitive angler, professional angler, however you want to put it, in the opens? I mean, I know, you know, maybe, John, you don't consider yourself a professional angler, but you're out there touring. I mean, and I'm going to ask you too, Matt. Like, how this is not easy. This is not easy.
No. Go ahead, John. You can answer it first, buddy.
I'll go real quick. People don't understand, but this is a lot of 5 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. 14-hour days, 15-hour days, little sleep. I mean, it's the ultimate mental and physical game. I mean, I camp quite a bit, so we're out there in the rain and snow and sleet and cold and heat. I mean, it could be 200 degrees in that tent or 40 below, you know, it don't matter. But getting up at the crack of early, out there grinding all day, I mean, yeah, this sport ain't for wimps, I can tell you that.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Yeah, man, I can attest to that. I'm going to tell you, I don't travel with a group of guys like John does. I think it would help if I like in the centrals, I travel by myself. I've looked for some people to travel with, but I'm very particular about who I travel with. I have a couple guys I traveled with in the last couple Eastern Opens, Craig Chambers and Garrett Rockamora. And dude, it's been, I don't think people realize, like, I didn't understand, like, I traveled for a week at a time to a tournament, but now I'm going to call it the Bass Opens. You know, I'd say it's the AAA of bass fishing. Whenever you get these events that are back-to-back like the Elite Series, you do not understand what it's like to go out there and fish like the Elite Series until you fish back-to-back events. You get done with one, you get in the truck, soaking wet from the rain, and then you drive 4 hours to the next one, and you're up at daylight the next morning, man. I've never been so exhausted. I see now why guys like Aaron Martins, Carl Jokumpson, Brandon, well, I think Brandon Polinick could be in shape without doing nothing, dude. He's a little guy. but I know why these guys are in shape, you know, because my fat butt, you know, is having trouble keeping up. So, dude, it's a grueling world, way of life, and people don't understand unless you've done it.
Well put by both of you guys. And here's something that kind of goes hand in hand with this, that you're actually water warriors out there. Okay. You're battling elements. And the more that you go to battle, the better you get at battling. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And here's an example of a water warrior right now that is just battling the hell out of everything and kicking ass. And Matt brought him up, and that's Brandon Palahniuk. And one of the reasons I believe for Brandon's success, besides the fact that I was his manager at one time and I let him go, I loved him and I set him free. But the thing is, he's fishing always right. Fishing opens elites. Right. And what does it get him, guys? What did it get Brandon Palahniuk this year?
They blow trophies, bud.
That's right. That's right. Because the more you go to battle, the better you get at it. Right, William Wallace? Yeah. Right, Faith Hearts?
You're a warrior on the water.
Yeah.
That's right, man.
Well, look at Matthew. I mean, he goes to Neely Henry for a week, gets a second, turns around, heads to Cherokee, and gets the win. I mean, that's in the zone or whatever you want to call it. That's the battle right there.
Yeah.
But you're prepping yourself for the win of the battle. You know, you're constantly grinding.
So I have a request from you guys, since you just happened to walk into this, that the next, yes, thank you. On the next tournament, I will ask you, John, and ask you, Matthew, to wear the face paint of the Wojo Warrior.
I will.
Nice. You got to paint your faces.
I will paint my face.
Like warriors of Wojo and proper bassing.
Where, when, or how?
You decide, John. You are the master of your own domain, John. What is this creepy voice I'm doing? What is this jungle sound? Where is King Kong when I need him?
I need some of that football face paint, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's
there
what I'm saying.
Go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to get out there. You put the face paint on. You put those pop-up glasses in case there's any fly balls, and you need to look into the sun, and you go out there and you catch fish. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What would people say if you walked up with football face paint on? They would have a heart attack, bud.
Well, they're already giving you shit about your jeans. So what are they going to say about what are they going to say about the damn face paint?
I know. That's real working man jeans. People don't realize.
That is. That boy went to work last week. Classic, baby.
BS. Classic. Those jeans are from all the trips before Rona to Old Country Buffet, and Matt didn't want to use a napkin, so he just wipes his hands on his pants.
Right. I'll be honest with you. I don't know where the yellow paint come from. I keep on thinking about it. I can't put nothing with it.
That keeps him busy at night thinking about that.
You paid extra for that. You paid extra for that, man. Hey, I don't know. I think that it's been a pretty fun straight cast, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, good show. Yeah. Good show.
I mean,
I thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I got a question, Matt. Like, so you, before we go, and maybe John can get in on this too. But
yeah.
So Matt, you have a true mullet.
Yeah, like, true.
So it's business in the front and party in the back.
Yeah, try that, bud.
Like, so like my, and my hair is pretty much it's ratchet and raggedy, but it's it's pretty much one length. Now, but whenever you put a like, I can't do that. Like fighter's hair is, we're talking hair tips. Sorry, John. But
yeah, I don't have those. Yeah,
but let's just ahead. We can pretend. Like so. Like fighter's hair is one length too, but you would think fighter has a mullet, right?
Yeah, he's got long hair.
Yeah, well, so do you, but it's mullet hair. So
yeah.
So like, my question is like, I need some advice from you, Matt, without getting a mullet. Like, how can I, when I wear a hat, how can I get it to not bozo and look more like I got a mullet? Because even when I put it behind my ears, it just poofs out.
So listen,
yeah.
I know you're going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
I already do. Yeah.
I saw Seth do something and I paid attention.
Okay.
And all right.
This is getting weird.
I know this is weird. Okay.
But I need a hair.
I saw him whenever he gets his hair ready to take off. Whenever he takes it and he slips it, he tucks it in behind them ears and pulls it tight. I'm telling you, I know it's crazy. Pulls it tight like this. And then slips that hat on and then slips the glasses on.
See, that's what I got to try. So it's kind of like a headband.
I'm telling you. I know it's stupid. I pay attention to detail.
But
he tucks the hair behind the ears real hard.
I've seen him do it in the boat, too. You're right. I've never knew that's what the deal was. I thought it was just like a nervous habit.
Gets the hat on all the way. Slips the shades on, and that's his warrior mask.
I like it. See, I got to figure something like that out, too, because I know John has this same problem. John, whenever we're cruising down the lake, like, our hair ties in knots. Like, right. How do we stop that from happening, John?
Yeah, I think it's a good conditioner.
Is that what we need? The conditioner.
Hey, okay. I will show you another tip, Pat.
Yes, please.
And I figured this out.
I figure it's a great way to end the show.
You take it, you roll it up, you take the hat.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow. John, do you see that kid?
That's a good look.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He's 20 years younger.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to church. He's going to church right now.
Yeah.
Holy. Holy cow.
My wife would be so happy.
I think.
So would mom.
So would mom.
Oh, man. You look amazing, dude. Here, I'll tuck mine in, too. All right. Tucking mine in my headphones. How's that?
Say?
Yeah.
Andy, tuck yours in, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
All right. So how about this? Let's Matt, now that you are all cleaned up and ready for the office, how about you close your first ever attempt and successful attempt, I may add, at being a Bass Fishing talk show host?
I would say it's borderline, bud.
You did great. So bring us on out, sir.
I don't know what to do with my hands, Pat.
Matthew Robertson.
Well, everybody, we appreciate you watching. Thank you, John. Thank you, Pat, for co-hosting. 10 Cup Whiskey, Powerball, Carl's Bait and Tackle. We appreciate everything, and we're signing off, folks.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Have a great night.
Yeah, we'll see you next week with the Outlaws of Bassin.
The Outlaws.
The three Outlaws of Bassin. I want you to think about who that is. The three biggest badasses in bass fishing are on the show next week. Hey, I'm Pat Renwick. Matthew
Thanks
Robertson.
Again,
guys. Matt Robertson.
And John.
Thanks.
We're out. Peace. Bass Galaxy. Love you all. Catch some fish. Good luck tomorrow, guys, in Tejas at the Bass Fest in Texas. Good luck, everybody. Peace.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance.
No, just kidding. This is Pat. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Straycast on iTunes and leave a review. Tell us what you think. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening. Peace!